Thank all of you all so much for being here. We love having this opportunity to worship God again today. Big thanks to all of you for being here. A special word of greeting and welcome to those who may be joining us tonight as guests. We really, really do appreciate your attendance and are so thankful to have, again, this opportunity to worship the Lord again. I know it's not the first Sunday of the month, first Sundays of the month in 2019 for us here at Augusta Road. Means more Jesus. We are, every first Sunday that the Lord gives us this year, we are spending it to talk more about Jesus. But we're not only talking about our Savior on these first Sundays. So tonight, allow me to direct your thoughts to some very, very famous words of Jesus. You find these with me in Matthew chapter 7. And I think it'll be worth your while to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. As you get there in Matthew chapter 7, I'm gonna shock you with an observation, and it's this. We live in a very crazy world. I mean, super crazy. I know that's not a shocking observation. I know that's just kind of, we know. No kidding. We live in a crazy world. Well, I want to show you some words of Christ that make this world a little less crazy, a little less hectic, a little more manageable, if you will. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it will be opened to you." Famous words, right? You've heard those lines of Scripture read or quoted numerous times, I'm sure. Jesus continues, "Everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, everyone who knocks will have it opened." So these are the words that I want to suggest to you tonight make our world just a tad less nuts. It lets us know, these words of Jesus let us know that God really is in control. If you need a reminder that God really is in control, here it is. Jesus is guaranteeing that those who really want to be saved, we'll come back to that thought in a second, but those who really want to be saved will be saved. Those who really seek and who really ask, now these are heavy terms here, ask and seek and knock. Jesus is letting us know that a lot of effort needs to be put into this search. The word ask means to solemnly entreat. You know, we're serious about this. We're not just asking to fill the silence or to pass time. We're deadly serious about getting the proper answers to these things we're asking. Also, the word seek, that's a word that you read a whole lot of times in Scripture. And each time it means to strive after, to really reach out and stretch for. This is the kind of searching you do when you lost your car keys or you lost your cell phone or even worse, your phone charger. You're looking everywhere for that thing. And Jesus is letting us know everybody who does this will find what they're looking for. So, bottom line it like this. Jesus is saying that everyone who really wants to be saved will have that opportunity. And Jesus is the one saying this. We live in a world where there are 7.75 billion people in it. The majority of which are lost, and I promise you, I take no delight, no pleasure whatsoever in breaking that sad news to you. Most folks are lost. Most folks, as much as we hate to admit it, most folks are on the broad, wide road, which Jesus himself here in Matthew 7 itself says leads to destruction. So that's sad. I mean, not a one of us is happy about that. I certainly am not happy about that. I feel a responsibility to preach it to you tonight. And every other time the subject comes up when we're talking about salvation, who is saved and who is lost, I feel that the Bible makes clear, and I need to also make clear, that most people are lost. I don't do it because it's good news. It's not good news. In fact, it's the opposite of good news. I don't do it because I'm happy about it. I'm not happy about it. As a matter of fact, it hits close to home, thinking about the scope and the breadth of people who are lost. It's terrifying. And it's one of the things that makes this world an even more crazy, messed up place. But here's what we have. We have a guarantee. And not a guarantee just from anybody, but we have a guarantee from God. A guarantee from the Lord, saying that whoever really is searching for the truth will find it. Whoever honestly and sincerely and for real is knocking will have that answer given to them. We don't have to take too much on our shoulders. We don't have to make sense of an increasingly more and more crazy world. We can give this to God, who right here is saying that he'll keep up with everybody who wants to be saved. And the Lord will providentially, of course, because the days of miracles have long ended, so God will today providentially provide a way for these people who really want to be saved. God will provide them a way to be saved. Now, obviously, in making these arrangements here, the Lord may use one of us. The Lord would like to be able to use all of us to bring these people who are searching and asking and knocking to salvation. But if the Lord can't use you because you've taken yourself out of the equation, you fall away, we all fall away. If the entire Church of Christ in South Carolina just goes belly up and falls away and is no longer faithful to the Lord, guess what? The Lord will still make a way for these people who want to be saved, be saved. Sometimes when we talk about salvation, there's somebody who will bring up this hypothetical deserted island. Have you ever heard about this place? It's not a real place, but it lives in the vivid imaginations of so many people who want to find a way to be saved other than being baptized. And usually in our conversations, it goes something like this. Oh, yeah? You say that you have to be baptized to be saved. Absolutely, I say that. I say that because the Bible says that. Okay, if you say you have to be baptized to be saved, what about a guy on a deserted island? Nobody's around. Maybe if he's really hard on his luck, there's no water around. It just kind of depends who you're talking to and how against baptism they are as to what version of this hypothetical story you get. But you've got it there, right? You see where this is going. You've got a guy, he's on a desert island. Don't worry about how he got there. Don't worry about any of the other things that might be coming in your mind about this poor fellow here. But he wants to be saved, and there's nobody there to baptize him, and or there's no water there for him to get baptized with. What about that? And a lot of these folks who are anti-baptism think they've really got you. Game, set, match, you know. But not so fast. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8 lets us know if this person really, really wants to be saved, if he's really searching, if he's really knock, knock, knocking, then the Lord will provide a way for him to be saved. That's the Lord's business. How is that going to happen, Mr. Fella who doesn't like the idea of baptism for the remission of sins may insist? How's that going to happen? Well, the Lord will see to it that it happens. The Lord will take care of that. The Lord would love, love, love to be able to use you, me, and Christians just like us. But the Lord's going to take care of that. And that person who is really seeking will be saved. And I got to tell you this, just in case it's not crystal clear. The person who really wants to be saved will be saved God's way. Because God's way is the only way to be saved. There's not going to be any exceptions to the rule made. There's not going to be any change to the plan made. There's not going to be something else that takes away sins. God's word is his bond, and it's not going to change. Remember, will you please? Jesus says, the word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day, John 12:48. So there will be no changes made to God's word. There can't be any changes made to God's word. So we're left with this. And this is a lot to be left with, by the way. We're left with these words of Jesus telling us everybody who wants to be saved will get that chance. Everybody who truly, seriously, for real wants to be saved, God's going to take care of that. Jesus goes on next in Matthew chapter 7 to paint a scene for these folks. Which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Matthew chapter 7, verse 9. This is a very famous question asked by Christ. If your child is hungry and wants some bread to eat, you're going to give him a rock to eat? Of course not. Of course not. That's not paternal. That's not nurturing. That's not caring. That's not kind. That's not merciful. That's cruel. And the point is, if you know how to be good to your kids, God who is in heaven knows better how to be good to those of us that he's made. God is the Father of all things living. Without him, there wouldn't be us or any of this. So God is the Father of everything. He is the originator of everything. It's because of him that we have this life in us. Now, there's a very special sense in which God is the Father of Christians in a special way, in an extra way. Jesus isn't here talking to Christians. So it's in that former context where Jesus is saying, God up there in heaven, if you ask him truly, sincerely, honestly, for real, if you ask him to help you and if you really want to be saved, he's going to give you that because he can. And because you know how to give good things to your children when they ask. So God's able to take care of us in today, his providential way. Jesus then goes on to say, do you really want to be saved? Think about this answer before you give it. Do you really want to be saved? Because if you really want to be saved, it's going to take some hard, hard work. Enter in at the narrow gate, Jesus says, Matthew 7:13. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter in by it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those are few who find it. Do you really want to be saved? You know, there are a lot more people saying they want to be saved than who really, truly, honestly, sincerely want to be saved. There are many more people talking about going to heaven than doing what it takes to get there. So Jesus says, if you really want to be saved, buckle in, because it's going to take a lot of hard work. A lot of hard work that just a few people are willing to do. Jesus says, if you really want to be saved, you better watch the way. and beware of false prophets, Matthew 7:15. Oh, but somebody 2,000 years later will say, but wait a minute, it's not Christ-like to talk about false teachers. It's not Christ-like to talk about false doctrine. Redirect your minds to Matthew 7:15 and note that Jesus is the one doing the talking. Jesus is the very one talking to us, his followers, about false prophets and the threat that they are and the danger that they pose and the way that they do their thing. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves, Jesus says. Jesus says this. I've never called a false teacher a wolf. I've never called a false teacher a wolf. But Jesus does here. And he lets us know just how dangerous they are. And the reason for this colorful language is because of what's at stake. Listen, we're talking about salvation versus damnation. We're talking about heaven and hell. And Jesus is putting it all out on the line here when he tells his followers and us, his later, 2,000 year later followers, to beware of false prophets. And when Jesus assesses their motives and says, now, here's what they're going to do. These false prophets, they're going to try to look like you. They're going to try to talk like you. They may even put Church of Christ out there on the sign and have a website that looks like yours and have organization that looks like yours. They're going to try to blend in, but inwardly, Jesus says, it's not who they really are. So you have to be careful. Do you have to dig? Do you have to take words and really dive in and try to analyze and understand the meaning of these words? Do you have to look at it and look at it again and maybe ask to talk to them for clarification? Can you explain this to me? Can you explain this? I heard this. It doesn't really match what the Bible says. Can we talk about it? You have to do that sort of stuff, because the stakes are so high. We're talking about your soul. And there is a threat to this soul. And Jesus says, you better watch that. What are you looking for? I have a question for you. What are you looking for? What are you finding? Oftentimes we find what we're looking for. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, verse 17, every healthy tree, every good tree brings forth good fruit. A diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree, a good tree, cannot bring forth bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bring forth good fruit. Familiar words that Jesus here speaks, and we look at them again tonight to kind of understand how it all fits in our minds. This is a crazy world. And you can be on whatever side of the crazy you choose. You make up your minds where you're going to be. The Lord doesn't force you. The Lord doesn't make you be good. The devil doesn't make you be bad. You have your own mind to make up. You can do whatever you want to do. So, which is it? What do you want to do? Do you really want to be saved? I mean, really, really want to be saved? I've got great news for you tonight. If you really, really, seriously, truly, sincerely want to be saved, the Lord wants you to be saved. And if you truly seek that salvation, you'll find it. Absolutely, I believe that. You'll find it. Now, if you're one of the many who just kind of want to be comfortable, if you're one of the many who prefer rather just to talk about being saved and hang around folks who are saved without really doing what you have to do to be saved, well then, this guarantee doesn't apply to you. But the Lord is saying to all of us, if you really want to be saved, He'll make it happen. Providentially today, the Lord is going to make it happen. And that's something that we can go to bed tonight thinking about, that will make it a little easier for us to fall asleep. It's a crazy world, crazy, crazy world. Most people are lost. I know, I get it. You know that too. But the Lord is promising here, those who want to be saved will be saved. Those who really, really want to know the truth, the Lord is going to make those arrangements. And I hope and pray that He can use me and you to make those arrangements. But I know this, if we all quit the church, if we all leave the Lord has still got this. The Lord will still take care of those who truly want to be saved. We can go bad spiritually. We can give up on the Lord, quit following His way, and the Lord will still graciously, mercifully offer salvation to everyone who wants to receive it. Do you want to receive it tonight? I hope so. I've been praying for you to be saved and know that you will only be saved the Lord's way, because it doesn't work any other way than that. The Lord has told you through the Bible, which He's given to you and me and all of us, salvation comes to those who hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And we need to make sure that we do those steps, because they are from God. Tonight, if you're ready, we're ready for you. If you have already obeyed that plan of salvation, as I look out and see so many who have, know this, the Lord is still offering that salvation to those who you love, to those who need it. The whole world needs it, and the Lord is offering it to everybody. To those of us who have obeyed it, though, know that we have a lot more that we need to do for God. It's not enough just to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. It's not enough. We have to do that, yes, don't get me wrong, we must. But after we've done that, we must be faithful to the Lord and give Him our very best. Maybe you would like a little help in that latter part tonight. Maybe you'd like a little help repenting of sins, asking prayers for public sins that you need to ask prayers for. We're here for you as well, just like we want anyone who needs to be baptized to come forward tonight and make that known. Anyone who needs to come back to the Lord, we want you to do that and make that known right now while we stand and sing. Won't you come, please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road Congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.